This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Dis 'n voorreg vir my vanaand om vir Andre van Wyk hier te hê. Ek geniet hom verskriklik baie. So, I don't know if you meet, but you'll know if you get to know Andre. He's one of those people that actually really love people. He actually really loves people. We get people that try to love people, and then we get people that really love people. So Andre is one of those people that really, really love people. Dankie, Andre. Andre used to be dominee at Durbanville NG Kerk, minister there for many years. And earlier this year, he joined Jan Kriel Institute. And the Jan Kriel Institute for children with special needs. So we have the school and the institute. And it's a history of 81 years, a legacy that he walks into. Remember last year we spent quite a lot of time talking about the kingdom of God. And what defines the kingdom of God is really a justice. Where because all people are created equal in God's eyes, some people need extra help to have an equal opportunity in cultivating and creating the earth. And that's what Jan Kriel really stands for. It's a school that recognizes that not everyone at school that goes through school are the same, and not everyone have the same abilities. So therefore, because we honor everyone created in God's image, some people need extra help, and that's what Jan Kriel is about. So Andre, bye-bye, dankie. He's a father of four and a husband of Tilla. And bye-bye, dankie. Kom, geef hom 'n klap.
Hi, all. Ross didn't tell you this, but I only found out sometime that apparently this is a Pastor's Appreciation Month, or something like that. So that's why he invited me to come and preach, so that after I'm done and I walked out the door, you will appreciate him much more for the rest of the time. Thanks, Ross. I want to speak about God's kingdom tonight, out of the Gospel of Mark. And I took a bicky sickle. Who's good in Google Translate? Ross did it this morning for me. He was very good. So sometimes I always tell people, I'm deeply Afrikaans. So the Lord speaks to me in the heavenly language, which is Afrikaans. So now as he speaks to me, I have to translate to you. And it's very difficult sometimes. And therefore, I sometimes need someone with a good Google Translate. But I'll just ask the question if I don't know the right word. But we'll be reading from Mark. I don't know if they've got it up. Don't you guys have it there this morning? Don't worry. I'm going to read it from here. We're going to actually read from Mark 2. But I'm going to start with the first verse of Mark 1, verse 1. And that says the following. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There it is. When Jesus came, he entered the community. No, don't worry. That's the actual part we're going to do now. I'll just read from here. I had to read that because if you're going to go to sleep in about a minute or two time, then you must remember this thing. The Gospel of Mark is about telling the world that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is God. And everything else that you're going to read in this Gospel is based on that, is based on the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, and what he does and what he says and what he's busy with all the time is saying he is God and he's building his kingdom, and he wants people to see that. So from here, the miracles will follow. From here, his preaching will start. You'll see there just a few verses down. He started after he was baptized and received the Spirit. And God said, "You are my Son, who I love." He was starting to proclaim the good news. Now, again, gospel is good news. That's a translation of gospel. It's the good news that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's building his kingdom. And then he starts with building his kingdom. He calls his disciples. He heals many people. He casts out evil spirits. He helps the man with leprosy. And then we come to the second chapter, which is chapter 2. And this is where we'll start reading again tonight. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. If you read in chapter 1, you'll see the word again is the good news that the kingdom of Jesus is here in Jesus' self. The kingdom of God is in Jesus. It's in verse 14 of the first chapter. So he was preaching to them, and since they could not... Oh, okay. Some men came, bringing with him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit what they were saying or thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Now, I don't know if there's anybody here tonight who has never heard the story. Anybody that never heard the story. Maybe you grew up like I grew up. We didn't have all these tablets. You guys might have, some of you. But we had children's Bibles, and this story was mostly in those Bibles. And they had a big picture there of this hole in the roof, and these friends looking through, and Jesus standing there in his white robe, and this man coming down on the mat, or the whatever you want to call it, being lowered down on the stretcher. And I remember that. I remember how these guys, their faces, how it looked when they were looking down at what Jesus was going to do. It's a wonderful story of friendship. It's a story of the miraculous healing of God's power. It's just a great story. But the thing is tonight is, how do we read the story? What do you hear when you heard the story? What do you see? What is it really about? Is it just about Jesus healing someone? Or is there more to the story? That's why we had to start at the beginning. We had to start at chapter 1, because to understand what's happening here, to understand the way Mark is telling the story, we need to understand what's the basis that he's working from. And the basis is that Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. He's God himself, and he's building his kingdom on earth. So everything that happens from there is about that, about Jesus establishing God's kingdom. The miracles, the healing, when he casts out demons. It's spectacular and it's miraculous, but the one thing it's all about, it's about God. Don't just look at the miracles. See that it's about God every time. And Jesus wants the people to understand that, because he does things in a totally different way that these people were used to. I think he did things in a different way that a lot of churches does today even. He sees the outsider. Today he's like preaching, and all these church people are sitting there, and he will stop what he's doing with them, and he will give time to this man. And then he'll talk to them again. That was Jesus' heart. The uninvited, the outsiders, the sinners, the broken people are so important to Jesus. And we read it all through the Gospels. And I think that's what's amazing about Jesus. When we read the Bible, when we talk about Jesus, when we talk about his kingdom, we like to talk about the miraculous stuff. We like church that is all going on, big things happening. We are all like that. In Mark, you can read that the people were like that as well. The whole chapter 1 and in chapter 2 were the same. Jesus was, this was this new guy in town who is preaching very well. You can listen to him because he talks differently than all the other scribes were talking. He heals people. He speaks and devils go out. This is amazing. So everybody wanted to come and see Jesus. But at some time, there at the end of chapter 1, he says to his disciples, he says, there's more people coming. And he said, no, we've already told them about the kingdom. They've seen what happens in God's kingdom. We need to go to another town now. Because everybody must see. Because for Jesus, it was not always just about the miracles. And these times, we need to know that. There's a lot of writing, and I actually read this morning again, someone wrote about church. And he was telling how great some churches are, and what happens in some churches, and it's just the good things and not the bad things. Not the hurt, and not the broken bones, and not everybody's just happy, smiling, and everything is good. Miracles sometimes and healings attract so much attention, but it sometimes takes us away of not seeing God anymore. I was saying this morning, and I like Wim Angus, just so if you're worried about that, but we will drive to Bloemfontein to sit with thousands of people and pray and drive back through the night to be at work the next morning. But if someone invites you for a prayer meeting where just two or three people will be, would you be as excited to go there? It's about Jesus. It's not about everything else. But let's come back to this story of today. So Jesus was spreading his message, the message of God's kingdom. He was actually talking to the people about his kingdom, about God's kingdom, when four guys decided, well, we've got this friend and we need to bring him to Jesus. Now you must set the scene in your mind quickly. There's no Uber. Forget about Uber. If he's a paralytic guy, there's no Hilux buggy to load him on top. There's no taxi if you take a taxi. You have to carry him from wherever you are. So they put him in a mat and they were carrying him all the way to where this Jesus is. We don't know why that day they decided to take him to Jesus. Because Jesus was preaching at the moment. It says he wasn't busy healing people at that moment. He was preaching. But they decided he must go there. Maybe it's because they hope Jesus will heal him. Maybe it's because he asked him so nicely the previous night when they were praying or whatever. And they were saying, please, I want to see this Jesus. And they said, buddy, we'll take you. And they brought him. But when they came to the house, there was no place. They couldn't even come near the door. So what did they do? They say, sorry, bud. We're going to take you home. We're going to see if we can get a lift home. No. They went up the roof. They carried him up the roof. Not nice stairs like this. They didn't have that. So they carried him up the roof. They broke through the roof. They broke a hole. And then they made that hole so big that they can take him down there. They can lower him down there. Just think what these guys are doing. They're breaking someone else's roof. We have to fix it. I don't know who's... I'm just wondering. I told Ross, I wonder if while he's preaching, someone breaks this roof, if he will feel like Jesus, or like thinking, wow, who's going to fix this before the rain's coming? I don't know. But, I mean, that's what's happening. They didn't matter. They wanted their friend to be with Jesus that day. They knew he needed to be there, and they did all they could. And Jesus stopped. After they did all of that, Jesus stopped. He saw the friend's faith. He saw the friend's determination. And then comes the wonderful words. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he talked to the man. The man didn't say anything. In the whole story, the man's only there. But Jesus saw his friend's faith and he decided he's going to change this man's life because of the friend's faith. We must see that. We mustn't miss that. He saw that these friends knew something about the kingdom. He saw that these friends' faith knew that he is God and he can do something for their friend. And they did everything in their power to bring their friend to Jesus so that Jesus can do something in his life. And Jesus did that. Now just go back there again. You're the friend now. You're on the roof. You don't know who's going to be angry because you broke his roof or whatever. You're looking down. Jesus spoke to your friend and then he turned around and he started preaching again and talked to these other people. And you can't hear everything he's saying, but something's going on there. And the next moment he turns to your friend again and he tells him to leave. Take his mat, get up, and there he goes. He's out the door. And you're jumping up and down there on the roof because something happened. Yeah, your friend that you carried all the way is walking out the door. Can you feel it? Can't you feel it yet? Okay, but you will feel it the next day when he knocks on your door for coffee. And it's your friend that walked all the way there. Or when you walk down in Tiger Valley and everybody sees it, that's the man that was paralytic and Jesus saved him. And that's his friends that believed. It feels good to have faith in a God that changes people's lives. And all he asks of us is, he wants to see our heart. He saw the heart of the friends on the roof. And he also saw the heart of the people sitting there. It says there, he saw their heart. He saw what they were thinking. And he said, you're not right. You don't understand. It's about God and it's about God's kingdom. But the guys up there, they understand that I'm God. And that's why I'm going to do this miracle. And I forgive sins. And I can bring life back to people. We were praying for that tonight. We were praying that God would bring life back to people. And we were asking some of you to be friends to those who left at the hands, who needed the friends of faith. God sees your faith, not for yourself, but for other people. We all need friends like that. I've been in Durbanville, Duomini. They say, I can't say pastor, but they sometimes call me pastor as well. I'm the only Duomini with all these charismatic guys. That's why I need to be naughty. You always say I'm naughty, but I need to just juggle them because I never know. They want me to do prophetic dances and stuff. I think if I start dancing now, you'll start to worry suddenly. Hey, Ross. So, I can only come and tell you now. You've heard the story. You know the Bible is true. But I want to come and testify from my new world. After 16 years in Durbanville, I moved to Jan Kriel. As Ross explained, it's a school for children with disabilities, learning disabilities specifically. Some of our children are physically disabled. Some you will see in town and you will not know that they have a disability. But we call it learning disabilities. It just means that they, I always say there's nothing wrong with them. It's just the school system can't help them because they're not trained and they don't have the context to help them. So the department takes these children out of school and they place them with us. And we have a context where there are therapists and people. There are friends that believe that God will change these people's lives. And we call those friends teachers and therapists and assistants and volunteers. And I see this every day. People ask me, who you work with, disabled children? It must be hectic. And I say, wow, it's actually great because I can see what God's doing every day because it's so positive to see the change in these children's lives. We have friends everywhere. Some of your people in this church are some of the friends that help us in Jan Kriel. They serve with their gifts and their talents and they pray for us. Some of our friends are donor friends. They are people that make the work that we do possible. Churches and individuals and people all across the country and in Namibia. And I sent an email out now the other day. I'm not very technologically advanced. But now I see with this MailChimp, you can see where everything's going and what's happening to your email that you send out. So I looked at the email and it suddenly said, well, 30% is opened in America. Now, I don't know if it's South Africans going there or how we got those addresses. But anyway, we've got friends that care for our children that are donors across the world. Some of them have never been to Jan Kriel. Some will never meet the children. Why do they give money? Why? Because they believe in a God that will change children's lives. And that's why. And then they hear the stories that Jesus did it. And they feel like these friends. And this is the stories that people come and tell me. I told some of it this morning. But I mean, I sometimes get letters handed from old ladies that sends us small envelopes with 20 rand or 50 rand. They send it every month. And then they write with it. They say, may God bless the children. May God be with them. And sometimes I must tell you one story of a lady. I told it this morning. She always gives 20 or 50 rand. And then there came a check for 10,000. And I was starting to get worried suddenly. Because some old people do get dementia. And their children might get worried. Because they think, what happened here? They wrote extra notes or something. So I phoned the old age home. And they said, no, speak to Tani. So I spoke to Tani. Hello, Tani. Yes, we're going to good. And I was, Tani, was it your checky ontvang? I said, yeah. Then Tani said, yes, what a blessing. I sold my house and I can give more to the children and to the Lord's work. And I was like, wow. Jan Kriel has such friends everywhere. Friends who believe, not that they, but that the Lord will change children's and other people's lives. And the Lord sees the faith of our friends, and He does exactly that. I can tell you many stories. I don't want to bother you with. There's some news. I don't know if there's even left some. Are there some behind there? Okay, Ross has got some there. You can read the stories of what's happening at Jan Kriel. Oh, go and read on the website. There's a lot of stories there. But I can just testify today that because of the faith of friends, God changes people's lives. So remember only two things tonight. So if you were sleeping, get awake quickly again. Remember that Jesus is God. He's the Son of God, and it's His kingdom that's being built up here. And the second thing is, remember that God sees your faith. And He, through your faith, He will heal others. Don't forget that. That always happens when you preach. You wanted to say other things and you decide that's not what you're going to say tonight. I'm going to tell you one story. I did it this morning. I'll tell you of one kid and then I need to tell you something else. There was this child that I've spoken about him this morning because it's so. He came and knocked on my door and he said he's practiced for the Stedford to do poetry. And can he say his poem to me? I'm like, okay. I wasn't there. It was early in the year, so I wasn't there too long, a few months. So I said, no, come in, please, come and do it. And this guy got up and he started doing this poem. Now, my children also does poems and my wife teaches, so I know a little bit about these things, or I see how they do it. I can't do it all myself. But this guy was living the poem. He was telling in his eyes and everything he was doing was just awesome. And I was like, whew, okay, where do you come from? I asked him, how long have you been doing this Stedford thing? Oh, it's my first time. It's my first time that I'm going to do it. I haven't even been there yet. I asked him, why not? I spoke to the teacher. I asked her, why haven't this guy done Stedford more? He said, it's his first year at Jan Kriel. He's been in the mainstream school. And in the mainstream school, his name is Dominic. He was called Dom Dominic. Because he's got ADHD and he can't sit still and he can't concentrate a lot and a bit dyslexia. So he was called Dom and he never got the opportunity to do it. But then he came to Jan Kriel and they said, no, but you can have the opportunity. Let's go for it. The teacher told me it takes a month or two longer to teach him, but it works. I can just testify. He got something like 97%. And it's not special needs Stedford. No. It's the normal Stedford. He really cracked him up. Huh? But it was just great seeing this guy. Nowadays, his mother came to me once and he said he didn't want to go to school. But now he's there. I see him everywhere. He's like, hello, Wim. He was this week. And he's just going up and down. And I spoke to him. I said, do you like Jan Kriel? And he said, Wim, I claim Jan Kriel. This is my school. I live here. And he loves it. And that's what happens. Because there's friends that can just change his context and make things different for him. Yeah, I wouldn't say more about Jan Kriel but what happens, and I have to say one more thing. One more. I said children are placed by the department there because they can't at all manage scholastic in any way in mainstream. But Jan Kriel has had last year 100% matric certificate, whatever, slaagsyfer, hoe sê mens dit? Pass rate. So I went, I was there, so I said, oh, I just came here, obviously, this year. So I went to the headmaster. I said, well, that's good. So he said, I know what's in your mind. You think they all dropped out all the way to matric. And then I said, no. I went back from grade R, because we're from grade R to matric. And, gemiddeld, nou moet ek begin. The average was a 95.3% slaagsyfer. Kom nou weer. Pass rate. I can't think anymore. Ross, I can't do this English anymore. It's just that God brought this place. And it was started by a mother whose son died of epilepsy. It was always for children with epilepsy. And then they got medication. So we still have a lot of children with epilepsy. We have children with disabilities and other things. But it's just a context where I can see. And I'm actually, yeah, I'm just privileged to be there and to see how God changes children. But now I want to come back to your lives about this story. And I want to ask you two questions. I want to ask you about your faith. Are you the friends of faith to someone else? Have you asked the Lord maybe? And that's why I want to ask you for the weeks coming. Pray to the Lord and ask, Lord, who? Is it someone near me maybe? Is it someone I met tonight here that I prayed with? Or is it someone else that will come on my way? Where would you see my faith where I can tell that person and speak to that person or do something for that person so that you can see my faith and change that person's life? Because that's God's kingdom. That friends didn't know it at that moment, but I think they did because God saw their faith. So they knew this is what they had to do. Or maybe you are the man on the mat. Maybe you are the one tonight that needs faith of friends. And around here are some people with badges. This morning they said, just speak to the guys with badges. They don't know about the rest. No, just kidding. But there are elders around here. There are people who want to pray with you. So don't go out tonight. Maybe you just want some prayer to have faith for this week. Maybe you need prayer because you are the one that needs God's healing tonight. Please pray with the elders tonight, yeah? But let's pray. First, pray together. Lord, thank you that you are God. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and you conquered the grave. Thank you that we know that you are at the head of your kingdom. You are building it up and you're using us. You're using our faith in you as God so that the world can see that and that the world might see that Jesus Christ is Lord. Help us to have faith for others. Not only faith for ourselves in our redemption, but Lord, faith so that you can heal others. Because that's what you want us to do. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Before I'm going to ask you to just talk together, I'm going to turn my charismat out on our Jerossi. I know, yeah. While we were singing, Roz, I just felt in my heart for you guys leaving tomorrow. And I want to tell you this, that this is exactly what's going to happen. You guys are going to be the friends of faith. Not having, just going there, not having to do more maybe even. But God will see your faith and change the lives of the people in Bhutan. I know that and I really want to prophesy that over what you're going to do. That's going to happen. People will come to you and will ask you, there's something different about me, tell me about it. You'll come back and tell us those stories. But that is what's going to happen. I know that. And I pray for that. Guys, just sit for a minute and talk to each other. Is there anything, maybe you heard something, maybe something happened to you tonight in the worship, in the reading, just being quiet by yourself. Tell the people next to you. And if you want someone to pray with you, come and pray with the elders. If you want someone next to you to talk to, please do that. But don't go out here and thinking afterwards, I should have talked to someone. Thank you.
Dankie, Andre. Die Here sê nie. Ek gaan gou bid net te sien. I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing from us as a congregation over Jan Kriel School. Father, we thank you for 81 years of your work of redemption, of love, acceptance, God, in Jan Kriel School, God. We thank you, Lord, for the countless learners that grew up, God, that became parents and workers from that school, God, because your kingdom manifested on earth, God, that the ones that were forgotten and the ones that aren't as talented, God, really encountered your love and your care. So we pray, Father, for Jan Kriel School. We pray, God, that they may prosper in all things, that whatever they put their hand to, God, that it may be effective. And we pray in Jesus' name that you'll continue to do as you do tonight, God, to stir in the hearts of your church, God, a compassion and a kindness towards those, Lord, that don't have the same.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.